Dave, what about PD-L1 levels in these patients? I've heard cases described to me. I remember Ross Kamage was talking about patients with ALK who had like 100% PD-L1 and don't respond. What's going on there?
We get called about this frequently where someone finds an L858R mutation and 100% PD-L1 expression because it's part of the panel that gets done. And the question that we get asked is, should I start, you know, pembrolizumab? And so, you know, we say no and recommend the TKI. So Corey alluded to a study that Eddie Guerin and the UCLA group did looking at patients who had EGFR mutations and high PD-L1 expression and exposed those patients to monotherapy, pembro, and the outcomes were poor. Corey correctly points out the numbers were small, and actually when I ask Eddie about the kind of mutations they studied, it wasn't exactly always sensitizing mutations that went on to that trial. So the typical deletion 19 and L858Rs, although they had some, it appeared to be some other even exon 20 insertions that went on that study. So I still think we don't know. I'd be nervous about doing that outside of a clinical trial. You know, it is interesting though, you do melanoma sessions here and those docs don't shy from giving immunotherapy to V600E, you know, in mutated settings, and they're even doing combination work.
That's because TMB is the same.
Give it instead.
Yeah, I mean, that's what gets discussed is differences in TMB, perhaps.
I think we would make a distinction between ALK, ROS1, and EGFR, and then the other potential oncogenic drivers.
Interesting. So, yeah, and in melanoma, most of the investigators don't even look at PD-L1 levels, even though the research says maybe there's an indication, but for a clinical point of view, particularly in the BRAF positive patients.